The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Bible Study. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us. Thanks again to Pastor Tom Eckstein for that journey through Exodus chapter 26. You didn't know all the details could be so interesting, did you? There really is a purpose to all of this. Joining us now for the program, Pastor Brian Davies. He serves at Lord of Glory Lutheran Church in Grays Lake, Illinois. Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Roland. Good morning to you and to KPO listeners.
You're wonderful. What do you know that I don't know?
I've got a lot to be thankful for, Roland.
Well, okay. That's one check mark.
Yeah. Life is good.
It is good. You have a newborn running around. Well, not running around the house.
Right, he's doing a whole lot of nothing right now.
Yeah. Has that baptism come to pass yet?
It's scheduled, and we're very excited for it. We got a lot of family coming in from out of town, and it's a triumphant day for him and for our family and for our church.
And this makes number three.
And
number three.
Number final. Enter that into the KFUO archives.
Never say never. Yeah, remember, God's will, not yours.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, there's a lot of news out there today. I've got some fun stuff. I wanted to start out with this just because it's just so darn weird. And it's good for contrasting what we believe, teach, and confess against what others in the world hold as important and true. I don't know if you saw this story, but it caught my attention just because the headline. You know, whenever you see this thing about Islamists issue dire Facebook warning, it gets your attention because, you know, well, you never know what may be following that.
Mm.
But here is how the headline concludes. Following this Islamist issued dire Facebook warning, can you imagine about what? It says, eating tomatoes is forbidden because they are Christian.
Mm.
So perhaps instead of wine, we should be using tomato juice on Sunday mornings. I don't know. But here's where this story goes, and this is why it's interesting. It says, news out of the Middle East never ceases to be intriguing, no kidding, bizarre, even more no kidding, and unceasingly concerning. There's a group called the Popular Egyptian Islamic Association. They're referred to as a Salafist group, which means they're kind of extreme in their Sunni Muslim beliefs. And they do support jihad, according to the story. But the group in Egypt is allegedly taking to Facebook to warn fellow Muslims that eating tomatoes are Christian and you should not do so. It even goes so far as to say that when you look at a tomato cut in half, you find a Christian cross inside, and this is the proof that tomatoes are Christian.
Hmm. So interesting.
Hmm.
Brings to mind, I know you're just coming out of the Bible study, but if I could pull your listeners back to the scriptures.
What, on KFUO we're going to talk about the scripture?
I know, right? Psalm 19, which is just such a well-known psalm that speaks of God's creative work. It reads, read a few verses. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Now, I've heard that in reference to, you know, a majestic sunset or the Grand Canyon. I have not heard that in reference to tomatoes declaring, you know, the majesty and lordship of Jesus Christ. But I guess they're helping us point to a cross and a tomato. So for that, I'm thankful.
Yeah. Well, it says here that this imam says, I implore you to spread this photo because there is a sister from Palestine who saw the prophet of Allah in a vision, and he was crying, warning his nation against eating tomatoes. If you don't spread this message, know that it is the devil who has stopped you.
Yeah. I mean, Roland, it is wow. Like, we do kind of like, you know, it's interesting, it's unusual, but it does serve as a reminder to me as a Christian church, as a pastor, that I rejoice in our Lutheran heritage, that from my read on it, we speak about those things which God has really spoken about in the scriptures clearly, and we remain silent on that which Christ has in the scriptures has remained silent on. And I think I rejoice in that part of our heritage. And I also, it makes me wonder, like, I don't have time for that. Do you, Roland? What are these spiritual leaders doing? I mean, our congregation is not exceptionally large, but my ministry is very busy. I don't have time to observe the paganness or spirituality of various vegetables.
Yeah, but it's but sadly it's the environment in which we live.
Yeah.
You know, this is where the church exists, in an atmosphere corrupted and polluted by all these sort of strange ideas.
Mm-hmm. And it just it makes us run back to that which we hold most dear.
Well, if you think that was strange.
Oh, boy.
Now, I've not been working overtime to find these just for you, Pastor, but it just, you know, you just happened to be in the rotation today, and this is what fell on, you know, just fell out of my printer this morning.
I'll have to talk to Jenny about the schedule.
Ah, you may have to. Yeah, I don't know. But it apparently in, where did this take place? Salem, Massachusetts. Now, that should get your antenna up,
mm-hmm.
when I say Salem, because what's Salem, Massachusetts famous for?
I know them as the trials, the witchcraft trials.
That's right, the witchcraft trials. Apparently, an exotic dancer who happened to be intoxicated was in a car accident, which tragically took the life of a passenger. But listen to the way this story goes, and this is posted today on the AP Wire story. A coven of witches from Salem, Massachusetts, appeared in court to support a local dancer who was arrested on drunk driving charges. Now, here's where we get really bizarre in this. Angelique Catherine Griffin, who is 25, is a member of the local Wiccan community, which apparently is very vibrant there in Salem. The witch trials have done, you know, they accomplished just the opposite,
mm-hmm.
of what they were intended to do. And she is being supported, you know, in this moment by her uncle, a self-professed warlock who has threatened to hex anyone who tries to harm his niece.
Mm.
All right. So apparently he's out there casting spells. It goes on to say she was charged with vehicular homicide, drunken driving, and when she appeared in court on Monday, several local witches and warlocks showed up to support her, Salem being a hotbed for sort of that odd religious activity. And now this is where it really is strange. Griffin's uncle, Christian Day, what an odd name for a warlock, Christian Day, you think he would have changed that, posted on Facebook, he said he wanted people to send him energy, because he needs all the energy he can get to hex each and every person that would dare harm his niece. I guess I better watch out as I drive home tonight.
Yeah, right. And not to bring us back to the Bible again.
Again? Really, Pastor? Twice in one program?
In the first 10 minutes, no less.
That's right.
Acts chapter 17, Paul arrives in Athens, and you can probably guess, and your readers can guess where I'm going, but Paul surveys the scene in Athens, sees that it's a city full of idolatry, paganness, and he observes it. The Bible says he reasons with them, which means he's listening to them, he's observing, and he's speaking to them. And then finally, kind of at the end of it, stands up in a meeting and proclaims, I see that in every way you are very religious.
Yeah, yeah.
But then begins, you know, to unpack the God that we know, who's come through Jesus Christ. And religion sure can take on a host of different avenues and expressions, but then we come back to, you know, true religion found in Jesus Christ and the gospel.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Now, if you think talking about Islamic fatwas against tomatoes and covens of witches showing up in church was strange enough, how about we talk about some of the stuff that's actually going on inside what people refer to these days as church?
Let's go, Roland.
All right. I've got a little bit of audio for you. Apparently, this is something that is gaining in popularity, not just, well, this story covers one particular place where this is going on, but it's called MMA fighting as a form of worship. Does Christian MMA fighting violate biblical teaching? Is the headline. It comes out of the Christian Post, and here is a part of the story. The story breaks into two segments. It's about a three-minute story, a little bit long for playing in one continuous bite, but let me get about halfway through it, and then you can give us your thoughts on it. Here, Pastor, here we go.
As Christians, if our focus is not on God, we're never really going to understand real power, real strength. In life, there are times where you take shots. Because it's a battle out there. And the enemy is trying to seek and destroy us. He wants to destroy your families. He wants to destroy you personally. That's where the Bible gives you your training. I love fighting. I do. This weekend we're having a Muay Thai kickboxing event here at the church.
The hope is that through the fight I can create a relationship with the person I'm fighting and extend Christ to him.
Oh, they both got each other. Dear God, thank you for the win. Thank you that he's okay and he's walking. Lord, I pray there's no damage, nothing swells up bad later. In Jesus' name, amen.
At the end of the day, it's about reaching people with the gospel, regardless of your title and regardless of what you do to introduce them into a relationship with Jesus Christ.
People may say mixed martial arts is wrong and Jesus told everyone to turn the other cheek and things like that. And I would be really quick to say, probably isn't the church for you.
There are definitely some people who think there's a huge contradiction between fighting in Christianity.
If any serious Christian at all is going to say that one of the primary teachings of Christianity is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Can you love your neighbor as yourself and then at the same time knee him in the face as hard as you can?
God said, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged because I'm your God and I'll be with you wherever you go. Right?
I'm going to go in there and rip this kid's head off.
All right. Now, there's so much there we could probably fill the balance of the hour with it. But right off the bat, in just the first half of that, what strikes you? No pun intended. What strikes you?
Well played, Rowan. Wow, but that's interesting. This is the first I'm hearing about it, and I have very little exposure to MMA, very little. But I know it is very violent.
Yeah, MMA stands for mixed martial arts, which is really just go in and do whatever you can to cream the other guy.
Correct. That's my understanding too. It seems, it occurs to me, is very, very violent, and there was some really, I don't know if you could hear me laughing while you were playing.
A little bit. I left your mic potted up so folks could hear that. Yeah.
But the thought about, love your neighbor as yourself and then knee him in the face, that was totally new to me.
Oh, how about the one about, I hope to develop a relationship as I pummel this man to within an inch of his life.
Boy, it's very interesting. You're 3 for 3 now, Roland, with the tomatoes, and but this is intriguing. We should reflect on it for sure as a Christian church. And I'm not in their environment. I'm not in the MMA culture, so it's hard for me as a pastor to evaluate what they're doing is godly or not. But just a few reflections. I live in Chicago. One of the sainted icons of Chicago is a man named Mike Singletary, who is a middle linebacker for the Bears in their Super Bowl run. Mike Singletary is a very outspoken evangelical Christian. In fact, when he was the coach of the San Francisco 49ers, had a very large cross on his neck that he'd wear while he was coaching. And I thought that sent a powerful signal to the world that although Christians generally are known for compassion, for listening, there is an approach, there is a way by which Christians can enter into sporting events, various activities, and that doesn't mean that they have to leave their Christian faith behind. They can bring it into the arena. I mean, I played football, I played, baseball competitively, and I didn't have to leave behind my Christian faith while I entered that arena, but rather I brought it into it. Football is a very violent game, but it's played within rules, with authorities, with a structure. And it seems to me like MMA has that to some degree, but I think you're definitely pushing the envelope a little bit when you start talking about building a relationship by pummeling someone in the face.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think you can in certain arenas, I don't know if MMA is one of them, but definitely sporting arenas, you can bring your faith into those things for sure. Now, as a church evangelistic tool, it sure is an interesting one.
Well, that's one of the points here from the story. It says, at the end of the day, the fellow who is the head of this fight church operation, it's about reaching people for the gospel. Again, I may be slow, But there seems to be a disconnect, again, like you said, between smashing someone in the face and reaching them with the gospel.
Yeah, and I guess it would, I mean, it would require a study. You know, Paul does say in the New Testament, you know, I became all things for all people that I might save some. You know, Paul did enter into some very difficult environments. Our Lord Jesus Christ did the same. He chose to eat and dine with tax collectors and prostitutes and all for whom society has left behind, not condoning their sin, but saying, you know, I have something different to offer you. I think the church needs to be, the church is called to be in the arenas of life that the gospel hasn't yet entered, whether it's Botswana, Africa, or deep in the depths of MMA culture. But whether or not the church should then sanction those events and call them church events, I think is where the line gets a little blurred, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. You can get in by way of email as well. So what do you think? Would you attend a mixed martial arts worship service, for crying out loud? I don't know.
But the question,
go ahead, Pastor, but this does beg a question also.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be somewhat of... you know, I forget exactly the word, but two things that don't go together, like jumbo shrimp. I mean, to call it a mixed martial arts worship service, I mean, I think that comes from a different understanding of what worship is. I think we have a pretty good understanding of what worship is in the Lutheran Church. It's an arena, pun intended, by which God comes to us and speaks to us and gives us his gifts, whereas I think they're using worship as an arena by which we show love for each other by slamming my knee into his face. I think we want to have a discussion on worship. The Christian church and its people need to be in that arena. So I would, if, you know, the Lord was calling me into that arena, I think I would do it. I don't know about sanctioning an event. Yeah. I mean, Jesus doesn't sanction homes of infidelity. He meets prostitutes and pulls them out of it.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on, you know, as a theologian, we need to look exactly at MMA, and I'd like to hear from your listeners and people who are more part of that culture.
I mean, there's in Scripture, there's a lot of smoting, a lot of smiting, a lot of fighting used as metaphor.
Mm.
So do you think perhaps they're onto something but maybe have gone a bit too far with it?
Yeah, I think the important word's being used as metaphor. I mean, that's an important picture of the spiritual battle that we wage with sin and with Satan and with death and all the things of this world that are trying to pull us away.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, we celebrate as Christians that we have victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. We don't need to wage the battle anymore. And I can speak for myself, and I think for a number of people that I do Christianity with, I don't need to engage in an MMA battle to remind me of that struggle. Then again, other people have different expressions of Christianity than I do.
Hmm. Now, here is the question this begs. And I don't want to bring the church into discussion as sort of marketing and that kind of business, but can Orthodox traditional liturgical worship in a culture that is so fascinated by entertainment and what's happening now compete with this kind of nonsense?
Absolutely. Because we have something that doesn't even compete. I think that part of culture and those other entertainment venues, as you call them, can't compete with what we offer, I think would be the other way to look at it. Something's offered, you know, here at Lord of Glory on Sunday morning that you frankly cannot get anywhere else. And it happens at Christian altars and pulpits around the world. And so instead of looking down at what others offer, I'd instead choose to look at what we offer as incredibly unique, and we need to celebrate that and give thanks to God for that.
Yeah, but does returning love for hate really accomplish anything, Pastor?
Yeah, you're talking about the MMA culture here?
Yeah.
I'm not a part of it. It's hard for me to evaluate it, but from an outside look, it appears to be more of the devil's playground.
Well, let's listen to the rest of the story, and then, where we left off, you couldn't see the video, obviously, but where we left off is with a kid who's maybe 10, 11 years old, talking about how now it's his turn. They're sending kids into the ring.
Wow.
to fight in mixed martial arts style. And as you heard him say, now how's that for a catechism class? Teach the kid to go into the ring and rip his brother's head off. Here's the rest of the story.
Personally, I would prefer to have a full MMA competition here at the church, but that is not legal in the state of New York still.
People do not want MMA legalized. It befuddles me why somebody, especially a minister, would say, we have to take this to the next level of violence.
It's not violent at all. This is two participants entering into a ring or a cage saying, we're going to test each other today, and the best man is going to win.
In my Christian life, I start to see a conflict there. Is this having a positive impact on my Christianity? I think mixed martial arts and Christian doctrine are incompatible.
The greatest example in Scripture of Jesus was a fighter. That is the type of Jesus that I would want to serve.
People would look at it and go, oh, that's violent. That's not Christian. And I would differ with that thought. In that all of life is a fight.
Listen to me. Some of my best experiences is getting beat up a little bit. This is a good experience.
I don't doubt what we do because I know this is the gifts and the skills God has given me. My prayer is as I walk close to Jesus and just do the right thing and let him take care of the rest.
The one voice that you heard there was a fellow who was questioning whether or not this was compatible with Christian doctrine. He was one of the fighters. Still a mixed martial arts fighter, but doesn't believe that it should be brought into the church.
Yeah, that was really honest, and I really enjoyed hearing his kind of reflection on that, and it really did lead me to think, I guess going back to my original point, instead of the church kind of trying to morph the church to reach that culture, I think... Personally, again, not knowing that culture, I think a much better way is to say, I'm trying to pull you out of that very dark, very violent, into something very beautiful and peaceful and victorious that comes through Christ. And so I would, not knowing Fight Church and then experiencing and what their worship services look like, our worship, we understand, shapes our discipleship, right?
Yes.
And so I would wonder, what type of disciples are we making with a Fight Church liturgical worship service?
Well, also, again, having spent the first hour of the program today in Exodus chapter 26 with the setup of the tabernacle and all these boundaries for worship, by extension, is this what God had in mind?
Yeah, and that's the question the church needs to continually be asking itself, especially as it seeks to connect with modern culture. And I think to go back to your point about entertainment, I think that's a really fair question that the church needs to ask itself continually and wrestle with. There's definitely a sense by which we need to use the gifts that God has given us in culture to communicate with culture, but at the same time, we are otherworldly. As a Christian church, we're offering something divine, we're offering something sacred, and we almost neuter it. We almost take away its power and mystery and divinity if we make it too secularized.
Yeah, too pedestrian. The other thing that caught my attention, we've got about 45 seconds before the break, Pastor, so if you need to pick up your thoughts on the other side, we'll certainly allow you to do so. I left the crowd noise up. I don't know if you can discern very clearly, but you can hear people in the crowd screaming, kill him, kill him. Get him. And it reminded me of a little thing that happened on a Friday afternoon way back in history.
Yeah.
Where there was a crowd screaming, crucify him, crucify him.
Yeah, and we did. We lived, in essence, not technically, but we lived through that once. We don't need to recreate that. Christ has already been crucified. Let's not crucify each other.
Yeah, but if you call that church, I mean, who was it that was yelling for him to be crucified?
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't the church.
Yeah, exactly.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. I have more stuff. We'd love to hear from you. The break is a great time to call in. Maybe even an email would be great. Also coming up, maybe we'll talk a little bit about revenge. We've talked about, all kinds of things. But what's on your mind today? This is the question that we all have for you. Call and let us know. We'll be right back after these few short messages.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
The American Lutheran tradition of bringing displaced persons from peril to protection goes back to World War II, which displaced one out of six Lutherans. Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service has carried on that tradition for over 70 years, resettling almost 400,000 refugees and providing urgently needed protection. June 20th, World Refugee Day, a day to remember the 14 million refugees who still need service and our prayers. For information, go to LIRS.org.
Start your day off right with the morning show Monday through Friday on KFUO Radio. Hi, I'm Randy Asbury. Join me as we start the day right with daily prayer, news and views from around the church, feeding the faith, and much more. The morning show, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on your Lutheran radio station, AM 850 KFUO or KFUO.org.
I received this letter from a listener. She says, I love your station. I live up in North Dakota and listen off my computer, but I would really love to listen on the go on my smartphone. Is there plans for an app for the Android phone? The answer is you can listen to KFUO Radio on your Android phone or BlackBerry. Just go to Wonder Radio, spelt with a U, and download their app. And remember, for your iPhone users, we do have the iPhone app available on our website at KFUO.org.
The Southern Baptist Convention has chosen its first African-American leader.
It is my privilege to declare Fred Luter the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Outgoing President Bryant Wright announcing the election and then praising God for his successor.
As we think about how far we have come, as we think about how you have divinely called Fred Luter for this key moment in history, we just thank you.
Luter, an inner-city pastor, was unopposed and tearfully praised God as he received a standing ovation.
To God be the glory for the things that he has done. God bless you. I love you.
Fellow New Orleans pastor David Crosby noted the Southern Baptists' growing diversity.
If we are faithful in our work, this diversity will continue to grow. We need Pastor Fred at the head of the table, helping us understand our mission field and our mission. It is time.
I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, is well known in Christian circles. He recently said he won't pay the required surcharge to fund abortion in Obamacare, and he'll accept the consequences. Dr. Dobson said, "Come and get me if you must, Mr. President. I will not bow down before your wicked regulation." Has the time come in the persecution of Christians for more to be required of us than being shunned and ridiculed? Will we be fined for living our faith, or worse? The Bible says we ought to obey God rather than man. If man's laws conflict with Scripture, then we must stand with Dr. Dobson and other American citizens saying no to the evil of spreading and funding abortion. As redeemed children of Christ, we can do no other.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Good morning and welcome back to Ask the Pastor here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Guest pastor this morning is Brian Davies from Lord of Glory Lutheran Church in Grays Lake, Illinois. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us. And you know what I was thinking about during the break, Pastor Davies, is that that scene from, well, everyone has seen Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, but I think another rendition of Satan played in that same story by Donald Pleasence, where he's leading the crowd, screaming, kill him, crucify him. Mm-hmm. That's what I was seeing. Again, hearing that crowd noise at that MMA fight church thing, just, I think they've got it completely backwards, you know.
It's disturbing.
Yeah. Hey, on to a couple of other different things here. Are you familiar with the folks at the Westboro Baptist Church? I'm sure you've heard about them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they show up at military funerals, and they protest, and they have some very hateful signs that they put up and things like that. Do you know who the latest target of their protest is?
I don't know if I want to know, Rowan.
Tell me. It's not some governmental agency. It's not some strange rock concert venue. It's Billy Graham.
Oh.
They don't like Billy Graham because apparently he does not preach the way they think he ought to preach. And what was interesting, I gleaned, this is a very long piece, but I gleaned a very little bit of audio out of this. This is one of the Westboro adherents talking about why they are at this one Billy Graham center, and they're protesting him. And in the background, you're going to hear some odd Lady Gaga music. Apparently, some group that's the pro-gay group doesn't like the Westboro Baptist Church. So what they do when they show up is they show up and they blare Lady Gaga music over the top of them. I guess it's sort of a counter-protest. But listen to what she says, and tell me about how accurate she is in her representation of what Scripture says. Listen to this.
Hi, my name is Paulette Phelps, and I'm from Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, and we came here to preach to these people and to Billy Graham, whose time on this earth is not long, that their destruction is imminent and that they need to obey. First, they need to repent, then they need to obey and follow God's laws and commandments and forget about the love of money and forget about favor of men and follow God, because their destruction will come upon them in a moment that they know not. Thank you.
Well, on your Lutheran Christian meter scale there, where does that rate on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as the real message of God?
What I heard her say was, she calling for Billy Graham's Institute to preach law? That's what I heard her say.
Yes. And law to the extreme.
Okay, and I didn't hear her say anything after that.
Nope.
Okay, so we'd want to point to something different, Roland, right? This is not the heart of our message, is
yeah.
Repent and believe the good news of the gospel, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're missing something.
Well, and that, again, spending a lot of time with you. On the psi meter, I think I've hit 17 out of you so far. this comparing, because, you know, the question is out there, why are you a Lutheran?
Mm.
You know, I don't know how well we articulate why we're Lutherans. So perhaps contrasting what we are against what else is out there in the world representing itself as church and religion and faith is maybe a good way to inform that, do you think?
Absolutely, and that is a message we need to get out there. And I think we need to be, I think our Synod President has communicated this, unabashedly Lutheran. We need to celebrate who we are and what we believe and feel really good about it. In Athens, when Paul arrives there, he does say, "I see that you're very religious." That's an attempt to meet them on their turf. Then begins to share with them, you know, that God does not live in temples built by human hands, you know, get rid of these idols, but then goes to, I guess, in some ways agreeing with our preacher at the Billy Graham Institute. He calls, Paul does, everyone to repent in Acts 17, but then says, God has given proof of forgiveness to all men by raising Christ from the dead. So we never want to leave people with this message of repentance. We want to point them to the gospel, and I think that is the heart of Lutheran theology.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. The listeners have come to your rescue, Pastor Davies. Are you ready?
Sure.
Let's go to Rick first. Rick, something about Exodus chapter 26. Go ahead. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Roland. Pastor, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Rick.
Praise be to God. This has all come together with an extra little topping on it, because in the direction you headed at the beginning of the program, I never thought I would be able to pull this together with the end of our Bible study. But before I get into that, I'd like to make a little comment. About 3 years ago, I was at a military funeral. And God bless anybody out there that's listening, that's in the military. And at this funeral, everything, anything that could go wrong, did go wrong. And I felt so bad for the family. And when I was driving away from the funeral, it's like the Spirit of God came up in me and said, hey, we're not playing taps up here anyway, because the guy that played the taps just botched it terribly. And it said, we're not playing taps, we're playing reveille. And the 21-gun salute, it got all messed up. And it said, hey, we're not shooting off little pop guns up here. We're sending off cannons. So what you see on your side is way different than the way we accepted Dudley into our side. And that just gave me such a great peace and comfort, regardless how bad we can mess things up. God is always working things out for our good. And the thing about Exodus 26, you were asking Pastor Eckstein if the law was still in any effect today as it was then, back in the day. And he's, I believe if I heard him correctly, he said, not to the extent whereas we now have Christ that has done all these things for us.
Right.
And we do not look to the law, like this girl just talked about on the piece you played. We don't look to the law to earn, to make our righteousness before him. It's Christ and everything that he has done for us. Well, my family and I, we just got back last night. We were able to spend about 4 days up on Mackinac Island. And it was a beautiful time. And the lighthouse there at Mackinac City is no longer in operation. And I thought, oh, how sad. But then the lady said, well, it's because of the bridge. We have the bridge now. We don't need the lighthouse. How sad that may be, but the lighthouse would be more an obstruction, you know, more a hindrance than a help, blinding the traffic on the bridge and everything. And when she said, we don't need the lighthouse, we have the bridge, automatically, my mind goes to what Christ has done for us. Although these things were good, we have something now so much better. So that was the comment I wanted to make. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick. Good to hear from you this morning. Thank you for those remarks.
Yeah, absolutely, Rick. Thanks for sharing. I think that is a great, that is a really good expression of what was and what is now. You know, you can't put new wine in old wineskins, Jesus says. And we have something better now. So well said, Rick.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones again and continue our conversation. This time, let's bring John into it. John, good morning. You're on with Pastor Davies.
Good morning, Pastor Davies. Good morning, Roland. How are you?
Hey, John.
Well, very well.
Good. First of all, I wanted to thank the previous caller for his heartfelt discussion there. As a former member of the military, I really do appreciate his thoughts with us. One of the questions that I had concerning witnessing, and the reason I say witnessing, it kind of alludes to the program that you guys are having with all these, you get a lot of, you know, whether it be Mormons or whoever coming to your door, and you have a lot of these mega churches. You have, even in my own neighborhood, I have a lot of churches just kind of spring up that are, they call themselves non-denominational, come one, come all. The question I have, and I had to do a lot of searching and soul searching and doing historical reading, things of that nature, which alluded me to the LCMS. Should we, as Lutherans, should we, as people that, and I sure do appreciate the program, and of course the LCMS Church, because doing the actual word, putting the actual word out, is what I discovered to be most important. Should we, as Lutherans, should we get out there more? Should we portray ourselves more? Should we do door to door? Or as this MMW thing, it's really pretty cruel and drastic, if you ask me. But should we do things more in a public forum? That's basically my question.
Oh, wow.
Seems as if we're outnumbered, so to speak.
Well, remember Thermopylae?
Yes.
You know, 300 held off, a million angry Persians. So being outnumbered is not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay.
Pastor, go ahead.
John, that's a really great question.
Thank you.
And I think the answer is yes, with some careful, prayerful consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And I say yes because the answer in many ways is clear, that is, we're called to be recipients of God's grace and forgiveness. We are disciples of Jesus first. You know, God has called you by the gospel. You know, by your own reason and strength, you can't believe, but you've been redeemed, you've been saved. But God's work in your life doesn't terminate with just saving you. You're called to be a light and a blessing to the world. That's God called Israel to be a light in the Old Testament, and they had moments of success and moments of failure. That's the story of the Old Testament. God calls the disciples. He disciples them and then sends them out. Then he gives them and equips them with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the same is true for us. You've been called, you've been baptized, you've been redeemed, you've been forgiven, but God's work isn't done with you and it's not done with the collective church yet. And
right.
Not until all the world hears the gospel. And that work is done by his church, by his people. So should the message be getting out? Absolutely. No question about it. That's who we're called. That's what we're called to do because of who we're called and who we've been made to be as forgiven children of God. And so we got to spread that word because there's a very dark world living around us. And if we don't proclaim the gospel, who will?
Okay.
Right?
Right,
And so if we don't do it, who will? The Mormons? Well, then they're not proclaiming the gospel.
No.
The Jehovah's Witness, they're not proclaiming the gospel.
No.
And so we need to do it, because if we don't, who will? People will remain in darkness.
Right.
And so I think the question then is then surveying your local context. Where has God called you to live and be? John, what's your community like? What's your church like? And I think all those things need to then inform what's our witness going to actually look like in the culture around us.
Right. Well, I sure do appreciate the answer, because, you know, it is something that, you know, as a person that had kind of bounced around within from churches to churches, and still sometimes, you know, I still wonder. And, you know, I think, you know, had I seen, the important part to me was basically the deep need for. There was something there. I mean, I would go to some churches and it just, I felt good listening to them there for a while, but it never answered what I was actually in need of.
Mm.
And finding a church such as a confessional Lutheran church, I mean, it just really, I mean, a lot of the younger kids might really be interested in saying, you know, or hearing the word actually proclaimed as the word was actually spoken. I think it's a great thing, and I agree, we need to try and get it out there. Thank you so much for the program, and again, thank you for your answer.
Thank you, John. Good to hear from you this morning.
Thanks, John.
Have a great day.
You know, John gets me wondering, Pastor, about, you know, this whole discussion about witness. You know, I've had Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, and the fastest way to get rid of it is to offer to pray in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they will beat feet off the porch. But again, no pun intended, what do you think would happen if Jehovah's Witness knocked on the door of one of these fight church people? Is that the kind of witness you think? You know, would you rather talk to them about the true Christ or punch him off the board.
I know. That would be a very interesting encounter, wouldn't it?
Because you're fighting for Jesus.
Yeah. I think the approach that my wife and I have taken, we've had very isolated incidents, is where folks have come to our home. In fact, when I was at the seminary, they came to our building, our apartment building, which was off campus, but it was the landlord rented to a lot of seminarians, so it's probably 80% of the tenants in the building were seminarians. And I thought, this is interesting. You're not going to have a lot of luck in our building. But I think it's an approach I do advocate, which is, you know, I'll give you a few minutes if you give me a few minutes of your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
So I invite them in, give them water, and say, you know, give me your best in about in 3 to 5 minutes. And then if you allow me a couple minutes, and that's when, you know, I listen with a discerning ear, and then proclaim true faith and true gospel, which comes through repentance and faith. I mean, it is an opportunity, Roland, right? I mean, we believe this is someone who is not living in a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're knocking on your door saying, I want to talk about religion and Jesus. Well, I mean, how often does that happen? Let's seize the day.
Well, the other thing that I've noticed is, especially when you take in, when you adopt an attitude like the Westboro Bunch, where if someone that's a Mormon or someone that's a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, and you're all this fire and brimstone and, you know, turn or burn in hell, you're not going to start a dialogue with those folks. What that's going to do is simply affirm them more in what they believe, because they've already been taught to understand that when they encounter that sort of attitude, that affirms that what they're doing is right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'll come back to Acts 17. Paul doesn't stand in the center of Athens and start lobbing bricks into the synagogue or into the Areopagus.
Right.
But I mean, he reasons with them, he listens, and then he proclaims truth, starting by meeting them on their turf and then kind of using their poets, using their personal experience to translate gospel truth.
All right, Pastor Davies, grab your Bible and flip open to 1 Corinthians 1:10-13, because after we talk to Larry, we're going to James, and that's what his question will be about. So I'll give you a chance to read over that text real quick. And Larry, you're up next, then we're going to James. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Dovetailing off of the first hour, Roland, the pastor was talking about, the pastor made reference to a congregant that would skip worship service when the old 1941 hymnal wasn't in use.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of these new hymnals. I like the old blue hymnal. I think it's easier for people to follow the liturgy. I think the songs people are used to, I think it just is a more orderly thing for the people. But I'm not gonna abstain from going to church because of the latest hymnal edition. But what I did want to say, he was talking about, you know, using guitars and drums and whatever. The problem I see with that is, it's not that there's false doctrine contained in the using instruments. It leads you to a path of no doctrine. And I would like the pastor to comment, because if you listen to some of this quote Christian music, or listen to some of these Reformed services that do this, there's no doctrine there.
All right, Pastor, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's Larry was our caller, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Larry's question and concern, I think, is a very valid one, which is, anything we do as a church, it needs to reflect who we are and what we believe and teach and confess about who Christ is. And if we do anything that pulls us away from that, woe to us. Everything we should do should be an effort to proclaim that more clearly. And so that's why MMA Church, the ice is getting incredibly thinner, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and to your brother pastor's comments during the first hour, Tom Eckstein was the pastor during the Bible study, and he did say that the issue is not necessarily the guitar itself, but the content of what's being played.
Right, and so
that's,
I think,
the distinction.
That would be my next move, would be to say, let's evaluate then everything that we do as a church, whether it's our mission activities or what our worship looks like, against that barometer. You know, is it proclaiming Christ? And so, to me, an instrument is nothing more than an instrument, meaning the actual musical instrument is nothing more than an instrument that should lead us either to Christ or if, God forbid, it pulls us away. And I think that's not so much reflective of the instrument itself, but the message underlying. And so I think that's where there's a real cause for concern. The guitar is nothing more than, nothing really different than an organ or a trumpet.
Yeah,
it's an instrument that can be used for good or can be used to pull, you know, to pull people adrift.
And that was Tom's greater point, Pastor Eckstein's greater point, is that you can turn anything into an idol, whether it's an organ, a guitar, a liturgy, mm-hmm. or anything like that, where it becomes greater than the focus of that worship.
Yeah, and I've seen it. I've seen, and I think probably most of us have, examples where all those instruments are used to bring glory to God and proclaim solid Lutheran doctrine and opportunities when that hasn't happened.
All right, now on to 1 Corinthians and James, who's been waiting patiently. We've got about 3 minutes, Pastor. Go ahead, James.
Yes, I'd like, a quick application of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. And the reason why I asked it is because I was wondering, should the question as to why I'm a Lutheran or any other denomination be distinct from why I'm a Christian? Which should be our biggest centric circle when we're presenting our witness to seekers?
Can
I hold on?
Sure, good question, James. Pastor, I'll throw that one over to you.
Oh, it's a great question, and I think it is a shame we have 3 minutes, because I think we could do a lot on this. James's question is, how do we best understand 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13 in light of proclaiming our Lutheran doctrine? Is that what I heard him say? 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13, which says, you know, I appeal to you that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly united. We shouldn't say, I follow Apollos, or I follow Paul, or I follow Cephas. And I think our identity is that of, we are all, whether we're Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, whatever, our identity is that of a baptized, forgiven, redeemed, Holy Spirit-empowered Christian. And the Lutheran faith, the Lutheran understanding of that, is how I put that into practice. And so I think as Christians, not as Lutherans, but as Christians, we should celebrate our unity in the faith, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, where that exists. And we rejoice in what we believe and teach as a Lutheran church specifically, but we shouldn't just embrace our Lutheran heritage without embracing our unity in the Christian faith as well. Is James still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, James, go ahead.
So allow me to probe a little more. Where's your question coming from?
My question is coming from trying to understand the application of that particular verse, but how to present my witness to seekers, which should be my biggest century circle, should I say? I'm James of the Pentecostal Church, or should I be talking about the unity of our faith?
James, I think the most compelling, you're talking about a witness to an unbelieving friend or coworker?
Yes.
I think the best witness in that example is not, I'm part of this church or that church, because I think to an unbelieving world, they can't discern Lutheran Baptists from Westboro Baptist in Kansas. And so I think you need to know your audience. And I think in that situation, I think your best move, not knowing exactly the situation, but what I found, the best move is to proclaim, you know, your own personal faith in Jesus Christ, what that's done for you, and then eventually move into where that's put into practice for you.
Pastor Brian Davies has been our guest this morning. He serves at Lord of Glory in Grays Lake, Illinois. Very big day coming up this weekend, baptism of number 3. All the best. Thank you. And just joy in that day, Sunday.
Thank you, Roland, and God bless you and your listeners.
Thank you. All right, guys, that's it for today. We're back tomorrow with more of Exodus, more Ask the Pastor, but coming up after the news, Moments of Assurance. Stick around.
Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at KFUO.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
Well, from the book of Lamentations come these encouraging words. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, celebrating the fact that in Jesus Christ, you get those fresh compassions daily, even in the morning. I'll talk about those fresh compassions coming up on Jubilation this Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, our organization of the week, on AM 850 KFUO Clayton, St. Louis, worldwide at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm Ed Donahue. The Fed is extending the twist. The Federal Reserve says the economy needs a boost, so the Operation Twist program will continue through the end of the year. The AP's Mark Hamrick reports the idea is to keep interest rates low.
In issuing its statement, the Federal Reserve is acknowledging weaker hiring and the consumer spending isn't rising as fast as before. So-called Operation Twist, where the Fed sells short-term treasuries and buys longer-term bonds, is now to continue through December. It was to expire in 2 weeks. For consumers, this means that rates aren't going up anytime soon. After sending stocks higher in recent days, Wall Street set its key averages lower on the news.
But the Dow is now down only about 2 points. The testimony is over in the Jerry Sandusky trial. The defense is rested. Closing arguments are tomorrow. The former Penn State assistant coach did not testify. The AP's Mark Scofaro reports there was little reaction in the courtroom when the defense rested.
I did not see any particular reaction, and that's been typical for this trial over the last week and a half. It's been, I would say, kind of a somber courtroom, comparatively speaking.
Sandusky is charged with 51 criminal counts for alleged abuse of 10 boys over 15 years. The judge overseeing a sex abuse trial in Philadelphia involving a high-ranking official with the Catholic diocese sent the jury back for more deliberations after the jury said it was hung on 4 of the 5 charges. A House committee is getting close to voting on whether to cite Attorney General Eric Holder for contempt. They want more an investigation in Arizona of gun running in Mexico called Fast and Furious. President Obama has invoked executive privilege to withhold documents. Maryland Democrat Elijah Cummings says Republicans don't want to compromise.
It seems clear that you had no interest in resolving this issue and that the committee planned to go forward with contempt before we walked into the meeting with the Attorney General. It pains me to say this, but this is what I believe.
This is AP Radio News.